Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I would love for us this morning to turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We will begin with Colossians chapter 3. This morning we want to talk a little bit about the new life that we have in Christ. The new life that we have in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes to the Colossian brethren, he said, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Tell somebody, tell yourself, I have been raised to a new life with Christ. Raised to a new life with Christ. As believers, as Christians, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Colossian brethren, wants them to understand with all clarity the life that they have been called to. We just heard during our praise and worship one of the songs that they sang this morning, I will be what he called me to be. We have been called to live a new life, which is in Christ Jesus. We are raised, meaning in union and in companionship with Christ. The apostle picks up from his first statement or argument in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, how were you raised? He said, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life. How? Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. And because of that, now we are raised to walk a new life, which is found in Christ Jesus. And the apostle now, he quickly tells the Ephesians, the brethren rather in Colossians, that you have to set your sights on the realities of heaven. Now that you are raised to walk this new life, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that once we were dead because of disobedience and the many sins that we committed, we were dead. And we used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, all of us. I don't care how saved you are this morning, we were dead. And we used to, at one point in time, live like the rest of the world. We were in sin, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. That was our old nature. That was our old life. Paul to the Ephesians brethren in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey. He, the devil, the opposer, he was at one point our commander, the one we listened to. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. There was a nature that was in us that we inherited from our forefather Adam. And it was it was not difficult at any time for us to do sinful things. That was our nature. That was our desire. That was the driving passion of the life we live back then. Paul said we all used to live that way. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. Come on, saints of the living God. The life we used to live, we were subject to the anger of God, just like everyone. But this new life is found in Christ Jesus. And when we were buried with him in baptism, my God, believing by faith in the power and the glory of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, we were given this new life. Why? Because God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So you understand, brethren and friends, there's something unique about being raised to a new life with Christ Jesus. When Christ was raised from the dead, we also were risen with him. Come on, saints of the living God. How is this so? By having faith in Jesus Christ, the act of salvation, the act of crucifixion, which is the greatest display of God's love for humanity. When he was risen from the dead, when God raised him from the dead, everyone who believes on Jesus was risen also with him from the dead. Come on, saints of the living God. We are living a new life in Christ Jesus. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ Jesus and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Paul is allowing us to know that this new life, which is in Christ, has become the life of the believer. And he said, since you have been raised to the new life with Christ Jesus, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Why? Because Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. And now to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. That's why the believer's sight or his affection, his mindset must be on the realities of heaven, because that's where his life is. That's where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, the place of honor. That's where the believer's mind should be. He said, think about the things of heaven, not the things of her earth. In other words, set your affection. That's your mind. That's what should occupy the mind of a believer. Our thoughts should be occupied about the things where Christ now dwells, where our final home is to be, where our great interests are, where Christ is seated at the place of honor, at the right hand of God, since our life is in Christ. That's where the believer's mind ought to be. That's where our interests ought to be. That's where our affection is supposed to be. Since we are raised from the death of sin and are made alive anew, the great object of our contemplation should be the heavenly world where Jesus is. My God, for where Jesus is, that's where I am. Not on the things of the earth, not on wealth, honor, pleasure. Our affection should not be fixed on the things of this world, but on the things of heaven. Not on our houses, our riches, our wealth, our land, and what we may acquire on this side of life. No, we are pilgrims passing through. We know, my God Almighty, that we are off another country. Where Christ is, that's where the believer mind is. That's where the believer life is. Because eternal life is with Jesus Christ. And where Jesus is, that's where the believer's new life is. Listen now, Paul to the Colossians, brethren, he says, for you died to this life. We are dead. The believer is dead to this life. We are dead to sin. We have died to this life. We are dead to sin. That is all Christians, all believers. We are now dead to sin. Friends, we are dead to sin. It means that sin no longer have influence over us. Because a man, now it's a strong word, because someone who is dead is not influenced by anything that's happening around his body. He's dead. Now, Paul is saying that the believer, you died to this life. The life we used to live. That's the life that followed the passion of this world. The life that was subject to the anger of God. The life that we inherited from our forefather, Adam. Paul said, now that you have been buried with Christ and you are raised with him, now you are dead. We are dead to sin. It is impossible for those who are dead to act as if they were alive. We can't be alive to sin when we are dead to sin. Christians can no longer or should desire to live in sin. But now his desire is to live the new life to which Jesus has called him to. Listen now. How am I dead to sin? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter would have us understand that he personally, Jesus, carried our sins, the old life, the sins that we had. He carried it in his body. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, those who are listening to me this morning, whether you are saved or unsaved, I want you to know that when Jesus was revealed here on earth, the Bible would have us understand that he carried our sins. the burden of sin that we had, Jesus carried them in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right by his wounds. Praise the name of the Lord. We are healed. How am I dead? When Jesus carried my sins to the cross, and when they nailed him there, when they pierced his hands, when they pierced his side, when he died there, my God Almighty, hallelujah, I was crucified with him. I became dead to sin. And by his wounds, I'm healed. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us that my old self has been crucified with Christ. Yes, the old man has been crucified with Christ. I wonder if believers can wrap their mind about what the apostle is telling us this morning. My God Almighty, that you are a new creation. Come on, saints of the living God. The old man that was alive beyond before you got buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that old man is dead, has been crucified, is put to death with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Come on, saints of the living God. I want somebody to open their mouth and confess it. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Come on, confess that with your lips right now. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ now lives in me. And how do I live? My God, by trusting in the Son of God. I trust in Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am dead to sin. Let's look on the passage of scripture from Romans chapter 6. And the question was asked, and this now is dealing now with the power of sin being broken. Question is asked, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Question is answered, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? In other words, the driving passion to obey the sinful nature is no longer alive. The power of that sinful nature is broken. And there's a passion now which is driven by Christ himself, who now lives in us, to desire, to gives us the desire to fulfill, my God, what he requires. Now, Paul is allowing us to know, because we have now become dead to sin, it is absurd for us, my God Almighty, to desire to keep on sinning. He said, or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. How? By the power of the resurrection. Saints of the living God, by Christ being raised from the dead, by the glorious power of God, we are now given that ability to live the new life, to be what God called us to be. We have been given that ability by the power that lies in the resurrection, by Jesus being raised from the dead. Come on, saints of the living God, I bind the powers of darkness right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind every spirit of distraction right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hear what Paul said. He said, since we have been united with him in his death, it is something, my God Almighty, beyond the comprehension of man. My God, that when Jesus Christ was crucified, my God, you and I were on the cross being crucified with him. Those that believe on him, my God Almighty, were united with him in his death. We will also be raised to life as he was. We're dead to sin. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Yes, that passion, that drive that we once had was crucified with Christ. It is no longer a part of the believer's lifestyle. It's dead. Said it was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Come on, saints of the living God. Hallelujah. Sin no longer have power over the believer. For we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Come on, saints. I want us to reflect on that right now. Close your eyes and meditate on that. When we, my God Almighty, died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Think about it. Free from the power of sin. Yes. And since we died with Christ, we know, we are convinced, we also live with him. And so the apostle said, because we live with him, now set our affection on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Because we are convinced, my God Almighty, that we died with Christ and that we are now living with him. Our minds now is not on the things of this world, but it's on, my God, Christ, where he sits at the right hand of God. It's in heavenly places. Come on, saints of the living God. Death no longer has any power over him. Come on, saints, for he rose from the dead. He rose triumph from the grave. My God, hallelujah. Hallelujah has victory over sin and death. My God Almighty. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives, he lives for the glory of God. Can you understand that if Christ now lives for the glory of God and my life is in him, it means that I live for the glory of God. I'm dead to sin, but the life that I live now is not me, but it's Christ that lives in me, my God Almighty. I'm no longer subjected to the law, my God Almighty, of sin, but I'm now subjected, my God, to the grace of God that lives in me. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead. That's the call. Consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Come on, saints of the living God. Hallelujah. The believer must know that he's dead. He's a holy creation. He's a new creature, my God Almighty, that is called, my God, by God himself, a holy nation, a peculiar people, my God Almighty. He's dead to the power of sin. Sin no longer can enslave the believer. Come on, saints of the living God. Hallelujah. Let's hear a little bit more about what Paul is saying. Do not let sin control the way you live. What do you mean, Paul? What do you mean, do not let? Because you have the power to reject it. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Why? Because you are dead. Don't let any part of your body, my God Almighty, hallelujah. Why? Because your body now is the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Dead, but now alive. Come on, saints of the living God. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Come on, saints of the living God. Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to a righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. Paul says, because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Because previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Before our eyes were opened to this beautiful life in Christ Jesus, we were enslaved to sin. But now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteousness, living so that you will become holy, free from sin, and enslaved to righteousness. He says, when you were slaves to sin, you are free from the obligation to do right. And what was the results? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. But now, you are free from sin. The apostle writes to us in Colossians chapter 3. He said, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ in God. Your new life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? He starts out in verse 1, allowing us to understand the position of Christ. That Christ is now seated at the right hand of God, the place of honor. And that's where the believer is. Paul wants us to understand that there is a new life that is given to the believer. He calls this the real life, which is hidden with Christ in God. It means that Christ is keeping this new life for the believer. He wants us to understand, like when Jesus was on the cross, at the last moment, he shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. Bible said, and with those words, he gave up the ghost into thy hands. I commend my spirit. In other words, keep my spirit. He's heading to the grave, secure. What Paul wants us to understand, that we were buried with him in baptism. We died with him on the cross. When Jesus was crucified and he said, Father, into thine hands I entrust my spirit. Keep it. I'm heading to the grave, but I am sure that I will be resurrected from the dead. And now, brothers and sisters, what the apostle is telling us, believers, that we have a new life, which he calls the real life that is hidden in Christ. Come on, saints of the living God. Eternal life is with Jesus Christ. And if my life is hidden with Christ in God, where Christ now sits at the right hand of God, I am sure, I am absolutely sure as Christ was raised from the dead, my God, when he entrusted his life, my God, to God, when he said, keep it, into thine hands I commend my spirit. I'm going down to the grave, but I know that on the third day, you're going to give it back to me. I know as believers, while we transgress, while we are pilgrims passing through this land, my God, the new life now that we live in Christ. It is God who is keeping us. It's God, my God Almighty, that's giving us this new life. It's Christ who is living through us, my God Almighty. And if my life is hidden in Christ, in God, it tells me that my life is secure. Come on, saints of the living God. It is secure because it's hidden with Christ in God. And he says, and when Christ, who is our life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all this glory. When Christ, who is your life, John 1 and verse 4 tells us, the word gave life to everything that was created. And this life brought light to everyone. John 11 verse 25. Jesus told the woman, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Christ, who is our life, when he is revealed to the whole world, he's talking now about the judgment, the coming judgment. And we can read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. When he is revealed to the whole world, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. When he is revealed to the whole world, when he comes back, first the believers who have died will rise from their graves. When he is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory, all his glory. Those who have died will be risen, will be resurrected from the dead, share in his glory. And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We shall share in the glory. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Now, Paul calls for action on the part of the believer. He said, put to death, mortify the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Now, it tells me that the mind of the believer, the nature which is broken, the nature of sin, and now we have given been given the power over sin. But the mind now becomes a battle place. And there, from the old Adamic nature, the desire to lust after the things or the passion of this world, of the old lifestyle, it lurks in the believer. But it is the spirit now that is alive in the believer that is battling against that old nature. It's the spirit now that has the dominant force over that old nature. And so Paul says, believers, these earthly, you need to put to death, kill these earthly things lurking within you. Come on, saints of the living God. Oh, God Almighty, have you ever been trying to focus on the Lord and before you know it, something just pop up in your spirit and you wonder where it came from? It's the old Adamic nature that's lurking, my God Almighty, in your mind. But Paul says, we've got to take action. We've got to put it to death. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Come on, saints of the living God. That is not the position of the believer. Sexual immorality should not be, my God Almighty, a part of the believer's lifestyle. Lust and evil desires, my God, have nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. No, that's not the place of the believer. The believer mind must be on the things of heaven. Why? Because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. So the believer's interest got to be where his life is, for his life is hidden with Christ in God. My God Almighty, Galatians chapter 5. And verse 16 tells us how to kill the sinful desire. He said, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. For if you follow the Holy Spirit, my God Almighty, you will fulfill the desire of God, my God Almighty. He said, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. There's a war in the mind of the believer. There's one, my God Almighty, Paul calls it a law, my God Almighty. He seeks to do good, but evil presents himself, my God Almighty. He said the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. Now, in the mind of the believer, we want to do, my God, good. And that's the spirit. We want to please the master. But there's the sinful nature, my God. Out of it, there are some desires, some passions that's lurking. And it wants to do evil. It's in opposition to the mind of the spirit. So we have the mind of the flesh versus the mind of the spirit, my God Almighty. And the spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. There's a war. Paul said these two forces are constantly fighting each other. Come on, saints of the living God. It's there. Whether you want to believe it or not. Some folks act so righteous and so holy, they would not want to allow people to know that they're battling these evil desires. It's there. So these forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intention. Come on, saints. Have you ever felt like you want to do something? You're led by the Spirit to do something good. But there's an opposition from within. I'm not even talking about without, my God. I'm talking not external, but internal. There's an opposition within. There's something warring on the inside of your mind. You're not free to carry out your good intention. Paul, in Romans chapter 7, verse 16, he says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. The desire is there to do what is right, but I just don't do it. I do what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Come on, saints of the living God. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. There is nothing good. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. There's a struggle in the being. There's a struggle in the mind of the believer. Wants to do good, but find himself doing wrong. Wants to do, my God Almighty, hallelujah, what is right, but find himself in opposition. A struggle in the believer. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Come on, saints of the living God. Hallelujah. There's a new life in the believer. There's a new nature that's governing the lifestyle of the believer. My God Almighty. And the old sinful nature is still at war with that nature. But Paul calls us to action. He says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. My God Almighty, it's just looking for a chance to overcome. It's looking for a chance, my God Almighty, to take control of the mind of the believer. But Paul tells us now that we ought to be on the watch, on the lookout, my God. And every time that we see it popping up, we got to put it to death. Come on, saints of the living God. Take action by putting it to death. Why? Because of these things. The greed, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the lust and evil desire. Because of these things, the anger of God is coming. The judgment of God is sure. It's coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. You used to do it, but your life is now no longer a part of this world. You are dead. You see yourself acting in those manner. It's the sinful desire trying to overcome you. But you are dead. There's a new life in the believer. He said, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger. Fight. Put it to death. Rage. Malicious behavior. Slander and dirty language. That's not supposed to be a part of the believer's life. My God Almighty. We are called to action to ensure that we put these things to death. How? By following the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. What the Spirit says is what I want to obey. What the Spirit, where the Spirit leads me, is where I want to go. Paul said, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Come on, saints of the living God. You have a new nature that comes from Christ. Hallelujah. For because of from Him, by Him, all things were created. And by Him, there was nothing made that was made. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. And we are be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. Saints of the living God. Hallelujah. Christ is all that matters. Since God chose you, to be holy, the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Christian must have bowels of compassion, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those are the characteristics of the Christian life. Make allowance for each other's faults, because there's a fight. You may have gone on to a certain level of perfection or maturity. The believer that's coming along behind you is not there as yet. And so now you need to make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone that offends you. Why? Because this, in this new nature, you have the power, the ability to forgive. Because he said, remember, the Lord forgave you. He forgave us. So you must, that's a command, not a choice. You must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. He's seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. Let the peace that comes from him rule our hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. That's the position of the believers. Let the message about Christ, come on, saints, in all its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Hello. Whatever we do, our actions, our speech, we should do it as a representative of the Lord. Giving thanks through him to God the Father. We are dead to sin. We are now with Christ, seated in heavenly places. That's what Ephesians 2 verse 6 says. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. I wonder if we understand the power of this statement. I am in heavenly places with Christ. You see me here, it's because of this body. But right now, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. For he raised us from dead along with Christ. Brethren, we are risen from the dead along with Christ. When Christ was risen, the church that he purchased was risen with him. The resurrection is not a if. Hallelujah. My new life is hidden with Christ. He's the one that's keeping it safe. It's hidden with him. It's hidden with Christ, saints of the living God. When the Bible speaks about our new life being hidden, it's talking about a safe keeping, my salvation, my eternal life that he has given me by believing on him is hidden with him. When he was raised from the dead, I was with him, not just a friend. I was united by the Spirit. The church is united with him. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Find it in your Bible. He says that is why I'm suffering here in this prison, but I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. I'm confident of Christ's ability. I know him. I've experienced him, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. He's seated at the right hand of God, a place of honor, and he's guarding this new life that I have. Eternal life, which I've received from him. Paul said, I know the one in whom I trust. One in whom I believe, and I'm sure, I'm certain that he's able to guard, to keep that which I've entrusted, that which I've committed unto him until the day he returns against that day, the day when he comes back. There's a new life that we have in Christ Jesus. It is hidden. And while we're here struggling, fighting the good fight of faith, we walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the Spirit gives life. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the new life, it's eternal life. Lift your hands everywhere. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord this morning. It is eternal life. Hallelujah. I have it. Shakotosaya. My God Almighty. If you have it, you'll live it. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I am hidden with Christ in God, seated in heavenly places. That's the new life that I now live. Come on, lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Korabashamba Kosaya. If you have not tasted of this life, today is the day, my God Almighty, for you to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, for the remission of your sin, for the removal of your sins. God is able to forgive. Because he carried your sins. He carried them to the cross. He nailed them to the cross with him there. My God Almighty, all you have to do is to believe on him and you will be saved. My God, believe, my God, that he came into this world to redeem you from this world of sin. My God, from that old Adamic nature. My God, that you causes you to sin, for you're a slave to sin. But now he has given you freedom, which is found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Won't you turn your lives over to him this day? Come on, saints of the living God. I want to encourage someone as we been through these passage of scriptures this morning to understand your position in Christ. You are a new creation. You are living a new life. There's a life that is dead, and there's a life now that is now made alive. It's a new life in you. My God, it's not you that live, but it's Christ now that lives in you. My God, and we live to fulfill, my God Almighty, the Spirit. We walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, my God, for we seek to fulfill, my God, the desires of the Spirit. Come on, lift your hands one more time and bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to be what he wants me to be. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus against you. Hallelujah. I curse the powers of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Showers of blessing. Lord, let them fall even now on me. My God Almighty, I bind every force of darkness, come against the spirit of weariness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, touching you right now is all that matters, and our lives will never be the same again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.